that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
These faithful men and women we read of in Hebrews 11, passing through life looking for a better place. Faithful children of God today are the same way. We are looking as we travel, sojourners, passing through life in search of a city, a better homeland. Let's begin by singing this medley, "Here We Are But Straying Pilgrims," followed by "This World Is Not My Home." Oh, here we are but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim, but to cheer. Traveling to a different world. When my father passed away in October of 2012, I appreciated the comments you made a few moments ago about my dad. And many are here this afternoon that knew him well. And he inspired so many of us. Just something to tell you that near the end of his life, he and I did a gospel meeting together, where he preached one night and I led the singing, and then I preached the next night and he led the singing. We went through the whole week together, back and forth doing that, and that was a great time to spend with him. Got to the end of the week and a lady came up to me and she complimented me on how well I had done. Said, "Your lessons are so prepared and I really got a lot out of them, but your father's got it over you." I mean, she lifted me up and then she just dropped me really hard. I said, "Well, ma'am, he and I are not in competition. We're here to work together and to encourage one another." She said, "Well, that's not really what I meant to say a while ago, but I wanted to say it was too late. You already said it." But she said, "There's just something in his voice. Like he's getting near to going home. Pleading with people to get their life right with God." I said, "Well, he had that pleading in his voice when he was 22. I grew up with that, hearing him week after week. But even during the week, I knew that he had a love for people And I know that my father has gone on, as many of people that we have known have gone on, but we know that they're in a much better place. And we look forward to one day being reunited with them. But when I went through my father's office, as I look at my mother and dad, what they left in their home, there wasn't much there that I really wanted for myself. I've learned a lot from that the things I think that my kids will want that I'm going to leave, they don't put the value on it that I do. But there's one thing that I've found that I really enjoy having is my father's sermons. That's more important to me than anything. Because those sermons are still good to use today. But as I was looking under his desk, I found this box there that I opened up, and I found this sermon, The Journey into the Next World. But he didn't preach it, my grandfather did. I didn't know he had a box full of my grandfather's sermons. So I wanted to present that this afternoon and have some songs that tie in with it as well. But here's a sermon that was preached 70 years ago. And the scriptures that we're going to look at this afternoon were just as powerful back then and even before then. The journey into the next world is a certainty. We make many trips in this world, but some of those trips we fulfill them, some we don't. We have to postpone them. But this trip is certain. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. In James 4 and verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. David wrote Psalm 55, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Do me some glad morning when
thank you to the elders. thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed my time here. But why must we prepare for this trip we're talking about this afternoon? The journey that we're on into a new world. Why do we need to prepare for this trip? It's because of sin. That was mentioned in a prayer a few moments ago. What does sin do to us? It separates us from God. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our relationship with God is in jeopardy until we get it corrected, until we seek forgiveness from God. And he is so willing to do that. The Bible tells us to prepare. Amos 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God.
In John 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I used to hear gospel preachers when I was growing up talking about heaven being a prepared place for a prepared people. We've got to be prepared. And here's a word that's going to come up at the end of this reading. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. You be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. What else do we need when we go on a trip? I know this, if you go out of the country, you need a guide. You need a guide. I haven't been out of the country too many times, but I do recall one that my wife went on with her mom and dad about 8 years ago with her two sisters. I knew pretty quick that I did not want to go on this trip. My in-laws didn't even invite me to go with them, nor my brother-in-law. But we were okay with that. They were going to cover 10 countries in 21 days. And the guide told them, you're not on vacation, folks. You're not here to relax. You're here to see 10 countries in 21 days. And we're going to do it. You just better have your bags packed and ready to go each morning. And my wife was just on edge the whole time. And I said, I am so glad I didn't go with y'all. But she said we couldn't have made it without that guide, without him being there. So we need a guide as we travel through life. And why is that? Because we're unable to find heaven and find the way to heaven alone. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In Jeremiah 10, verse 25, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. Yes, we need help. We need help. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And Jesus offers to be our guide. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. I'd like to continue reading that in John chapter 6 and verse 64. But Jesus went on to say, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said this, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Heavenly sunlight. Do so. Guided by God's word. Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we've got to study it. When you think about God's word guiding us, it's our roadmap. And we got to study it like you'd study a map. The Bible says, be diligent to present yourself, or study to prove yourself to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I like what Isaiah said, and I brought this out on Wednesday night in the invitation. He said, search from the book of the Lord and read, and not one of these shall fail. And we go over to Acts chapter 8, and we read of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. What was he doing when Philip came to him? He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And I'll just make mention of this here. Acts 8, verse 28. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And here's what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip. How can I unless someone guides me? And he guided him to the truth, didn't he? And where he was reading from the prophet Isaiah about Jesus. And right there, Philip began preaching to him about Jesus Christ. And they went on down the road, and he made the good confession that he believed that Jesus Christ was Son of God. Stopped the chariot, and both of them went down into the water, and he was baptized. Came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. He found out where he was in life, where he had been, and where he was and where he was headed. I think anytime when we're going down the highway and we stop at a rest area and you see a map there, first place I go to with my eyes is where I am right now. And it says, you are here. And then I look at where I'm going. And where I'm headed. And I'm determined to get there. See, God's word is sufficient. When we look at roadmaps today, when we look at a GPS, there's many times we have to go and update them. But God's word needs no updating. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And there's one way. There's one way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, I am the way, I am the Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There's few who find it. That's sad. When we consider so many out in the world are lost in sin, I want to be among that few, don't you? I know we do. But it's only through obedience to the gospel of Christ. See, Jesus taught and Jesus said, as we find recorded in John 8:24, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. It was Jesus who said, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. It was Jesus who said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. It was Jesus who said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, or will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Those are from the words of Jesus, our Savior. When I hear people say, well, I just don't believe that's what he meant. Really? That's what we find in God's word. I'm going to believe it. Every word of it. And I know you feel the same way. I know you believe the same way. Get the feelings out of it. It's about believing. And then we find in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you put on Christ in baptism? You can do that this afternoon. You can do that as soon as we begin the invitation song. That is a song for you to respond if you need to. Again, there's only one right way to go. I want you to notice something. It's an upward way. Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And there's a reward at the end of the way. I love what Paul wrote near the end of his life as he wrote from Rome to his beloved Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. It's now. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And this word coming up next, I'm sure Paul was glad to say it. Finally. Finally. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Folks, let me say this. If you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns. You won't get pulled over for a U-turn. He wants you to turn to him. Why not come to him? Paul said, I press toward the goal. What's your goal? Come now if you need to respond as we stand and sing.
I want to say your song leaders who various levels of experience, but most all of them, I think, were in some of Tim's classes this last week, and so we have asked them to participate by leading songs tonight, and I'm just going to, I don't even know who's first, but I think they do, so we'll just come and have each one lead their song.
We'll sing the first and last verses.
All right.